Hey everyone, I'm Coach Al Lyman.
And I'm Dr. Kurt Strecker, and we are the experts behind Pursuit Athletic Performance, one of the nation's cutting-edge sports training companies with an outstanding reputation for getting athletes just like you stronger, more powerful, and faster, all while keeping you uninjured and in the game year after year.
Our weekly podcast will share honest, effective training tips and information, from the nuances of triathlon to the rigors of ultra running, as well as the latest in sports medicine and nutrition. Our goal is to explode the training myths and untruths marketed to athletes and to teach you how to truly unleash your ultimate potential. Be sure to subscribe for free updates of our proven strategies at pursuitathleticperformance.com.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Pursuit Athletic Performance Podcast. I'm Dr. Kurt Strecker, and I am joined, as always, by my smiling colleague, Coach Al Lyman. How are you today, Coach?
I am wonderful, Doc. What a great day it is here in Old Saybrook, and I'm looking forward again to have an opportunity to chat with you. I mean, what's better than doing these podcasts? They're a lot of fun. We get to talk, which is what we love to do, share some stuff that we're passionate about. So, yeah, all's good.
What's better? We got to figure out how to do them on the boat. That's what we got to figure out.
How to do them on the boat.
That's right. We'll start working on that. Our topic today, Coach, we're going to talk about nutrition, but more specifically, the shotgun approach to nutrition that everyone has. And that's, you know, we live in the information age. All of our lives are driven by the internet and the computer, and it's easy to jump on the internet and take a look and search for different pieces and parts. We're out in training. We've got friends saying, hey, I'm taking this supplement, it's great, and I'm taking that supplement. And, you know, you tune into the television and it tells you if you take this pill, you're going to be, you know, Superman. And you've got all these different sources of information constantly bombarding you. So when you look at the supplement industry, it's a, you know, a multi-billion dollar industry.
Yeah.
And folks are you know, popping pills all over the place with the idea that, you know, take this, it's good for you. But how do we know? How do we quantify that stuff? How do we measure the efficacy of our interventions, our supplemental interventions? You know, if you're taking a prescription medication to lower your blood lipids, your cholesterol, they're going to go ahead and measure. They're going to take blood and they're going to measure and see if that intervention is doing any good. But when we look at supplementation, we often don't do that. We sort of just take stuff because somebody said it was a good idea to do.
Yeah.
And you've sort of tacked away from that, Coach. You went through a different bit of a protocol and had some blood work done. We looked at, we did a complete metabolic profile with you, and we looked at your exhaust, right? We looked at what comes out of your body. It was some urine and some blood. And we looked to see how efficiently your engine was performing by looking at the exhaust. So why did you do that, Coach? Why did you go through that? Why did you decide that was a good idea to do?
You know, that's a, of course, a great question, Doc. And I think, you know, it's interesting. When I think of myself, I think I sort of, in many ways, represent a lot of athletes out there, probably athletes that are listening to this podcast right now. And by that, I mean, you know, I read the advertising and the marketing. I have access to that information database that is the internet, like as you alluded to earlier. And like many of our listeners, I'm trying to hold on to some youthfulness and perform at my best and feel good every day. And, you know, maintain a nice energy level, be able to recover from my workouts, and feel like I'm doing as well as I possibly can. And certainly in the topic of nutrition, there's as many opinions out there about what are the important supplements to take or what are the metabolites or nutrients that we need to get in our diet We're not even sure half the time in the foods that we consume what we're actually getting. And so with all of this information, certainly from my perspective, I want to look at things that are measurable and that I can be reasonably assured more than one or two people or one company, as an example, believes that it's important. You know, you and I utilize the functional movement screen as part of our gait analysis, in part because that's a measurable way to look at movement quality for an individual athlete. We shoot video because we want to see, create a baseline of where an athlete is from a movement perspective in their running, and then we want to measure their improvements after 3 or 6 weeks of training and see what kind of change has occurred.
Quantifiable measure.
Quantifiable measure. So you know that I'm an advocate of taking, as an example, a supplement of fish oil, omega-3 essential fat, because it's my belief, based on the research that I've read over, gosh, the last 25 years, that we probably, and me in particular, I probably don't get enough of those essential omega-3 fats in my diet, and the ratio of 3 to 9 or 3 to 6 to 9 probably isn't ideal for all of the reasons that we know and the importance of those essential fats from the standpoint of tissue health and the health of our nervous system and a whole host of other things, inflammation in the body, et cetera, et cetera. This is information that's pretty widely known. But the thing is how do I know how much omega-3 to actually take if I can't measure what I have? So with respect to the comprehensive metabolic profile you're referring to that I underwent, that was one of the tests that we looked at in that was, what is your ratio of omega-3 to 6 to 9, you know? So without question, you know, you mentioned measuring the exhaust. You know, how important is that? That's pretty cool, you know? What's your body doing with the nutrients that you're putting into it? And what is the outcome of all of it?
Sure, you know? when you have a motor running, right, you've got to have a specific amount of air and a specific amount of fuel, and those have to be combined with a spark. And if you look at the exhaust of a car that is not performing well, you might find that there's unburnt fuel being spit out the back, right? So how do you change that? Yep. Or you're not getting enough power because there isn't enough fuel, or the spark is incorrect, right? Yep. And so we're able to use with this complete metabolic profile that Designs for Health does, we're able to actually look and see through examining your exhaust how efficiently you're functioning. And so
right.
I think that's a pretty powerful thing. So what did you learn from this?
Well, you know, I suspect we'll talk a little bit more about what the actual profile will show us, but the things that really jumped out at me as being attractive about this for me were, first of all, learning a little bit about food antigens or foods that I may have a little bit of sensitivity to. I, like every other person that's listening to this podcast, is in the habit of consuming about the same 10 to 15 foods. And for reasons that I don't fully understand, sometimes our bodies develop some sensitivities to those foods we tend to eat more frequently or foods that we're exposed to a little bit more. Also, fat metabolism versus carbohydrate metabolism was something that was pretty important to look at. Certainly from the standpoint of being an endurance athlete, how well I'm able to metabolize fats and or carbohydrate as a fuel source, really, really important as well. And along with that, B vitamin status. B vitamins, as you know, sort of in a holistic or broad sense, are important for energy production. And that was really important. Probiotic status and oxidative stress were two additional things that this profile looked at. So what did I learn from actually having this profile done?
Some of these things were actually a surprise, right?
You had
a little food sensitivity, right?
I had a little food sensitivity. I learned that, you know, on a, I think on a scale of 1 to 5, I was on the lower end as being somewhat sensitive to dairy. Mm-hmm. What I found, Doc, since I took some dairy out of my diet, is that I seem to be a little less bloated sometimes, mm-hmm. you know? And it's sort of a feeling that's kind of hard to put your fingers on, you know, when you're consuming foods that, as it turns out, your body may be sensitive to for whatever reason, be it other factors. And you and I could talk about hyperpermeability of the gut and leaky gut syndrome, things which are which seem to be more prevalent in this day and age for whatever reason, you know. But the bottom line is that taking dairy out of my diet, I really feel better. I just feel better overall. I feel lighter. I feel a little less bloated. Did it require some adjustments? Absolutely. But I think it's been a positive change. As I read a little bit more about the profile, I think the opportunity will exist for me to start to add some food, some dairy foods back into my diet, but very slowly, and monitoring them and to see how I feel as time goes on. It's interesting when, you know, with the food sensitivity issue, because sometimes when you take those foods out, you can initially feel worse. I think there's some evidence to support that, but I pretty much felt better almost right from the get-go. I'm very sensitive to how my body feels and how it responds to what I eat. Interestingly, I also learned for a variety of reasons that my daily protein intake was a little bit on the low side. That showed up in a variety of places for me. So you made a comment that you didn't think that was all that much of a surprise, since the crux of my diet are my smoothies, which are predominantly greens and
right.
fruits.
Sure.
But I boosted my protein intake just a little bit, especially during the week, by adding in a scoop or two of the pea protein from DFH, which is an inexpensive and high quality protein, highly absorbable, and a good value associated with that protein. The lack of adequate protein in my diet has really, I'm sort of looking at it, sort of basically, it seems sort of simple, just boost it a little bit, or even the ramifications of it, sort of pretty basic. But for me, they've been actually quite profound, because I think balancing out your macronutrient intake, that is carbohydrate, protein, and fat, appropriately for every individual person is really important, Doc. You know, it's really important. We generally, again, depending on who we are and what our habits are in terms of how we eat and the foods we like to eat, it's not unusual to find people that are skewed on either end of the spectrum. Very high carbohydrate, low protein and fat, or conversely, what is often the case is very high protein, moderate fat, and low or moderate carbohydrate. It depends on where people tend to fall, but learning that a variety of these metabolites were off, the exhaust is the best and simplest way to describe it, was a reflection of a little bit too low protein intake, again, relative to my exercise, mm-hmm. my training, and so forth and so on. Boosting that protein intake has been pretty powerful and profound for me. I'm recovering better, I'm feeling better, my energy levels are improved, and that was pretty cool. I also, of course, noticed in particular, a substrate referred to as suberate was quite high. That has to do with cellular energy or energy production. Bottom line was, I needed to supplement for a bit with L-carnitine. L-carnitine is a nutrient involved in energy production within the mitochondria. It's often been a very popular supplement for folks to use to enhance fat burning. By no means are we advocating people start taking L-carnitine. But in this particular instance, based on this metabolic profile, It was recommended that I start to supplement with L-carnitine, and I've been doing that ever since getting the results.
You also showed some intestinal dysbiosis, right? Some funny bugs. As we know, our gut is filled with flora, and in fact, they're finding now that
what is flora, Doc? Flowers?
More flowers, right? Exactly. Bacteria, right? We're lots of bacteria in the gut, and it's good, right? We need that bacteria in the gut, and actually now they're finding that we may have more non-human cells in our body than human cells, which is fairly interesting. The health of the gut is dependent upon a healthy population of the correct bugs, let's say, the correct bacteria. And you had a bit of an overgrowth of some less desirable bugs, which probably contributed to some hyperpermeability in the gut, and probably is what made your milk come up positive on your food allergens. So an interesting thing, and the intervention there was simply to add some probiotics, right?
Right.
And you can go either way. You could take antibiotics, kill everything in there, and then start over again with probiotics, or you could try to get lots of probiotics in and let them sort of get enough population of the good bugs to get rid of the bad bugs.
Right.
Sort of push them out of the neighborhood.
Exactly.
As it were, yeah. So some very interesting information and stuff that you really wouldn't have known anything about. I think the one of the most interesting pieces is the milk, right? Because you weren't sick to your stomach, you didn't have diarrhea, you didn't have any of these issues. But for that to come up positive and then have a positive impact is pretty powerful.
Yeah, it is. Interestingly, if I look back on my, if I go back over the last 20 to 30 years as an example, there was a time when I was actually drinking a fairly large amount of milk, meaning that breakfast cereal is one of the staples in my diet. I got to go back a lot of years to actually think about that period of time. And then I reached a point where I sort of made this decision that I wasn't going to consume milk any longer, just because it occurred to me that I shouldn't necessarily be drinking the milk of another animal. And I think that's a choice every individual person makes from the standpoint of what's their viewpoint on that, right? But the bottom line is I don't consume a ton of dairy, or I hadn't consumed a ton of dairy products on a routine basis, but nevertheless, some cheese, of course, yogurt was something that was a staple in my diet. And so absolutely learning about those things in this specific way has immediately helped me to feel better, but as you point out, can have some long-term implications as well for the health of our gut, and I really believe that these are some of the kinds of things that endurance athletes are struggling with as well too, especially some in my age group, because when you've eaten a certain way over a number of years and you've fueled with a certain kind of fuel source for the races or the training that you're doing, a lot of athletes find that, what used to work for me doesn't work for me anymore. And the reasons may be related to some of the changes in the gut, in that gut lining, and how permeable that lining may be and what's actually passing through it, that the body is saying, hey, this is an invader, I'm going to go attack. And of course, as you mentioned, the flora becoming imbalanced as well too. So I absolutely believe the testing was valuable for me. And the bottom line is, with all of it, is I've got a little bit more targeted supplement strategy now. And I'm going to monitor over time how I feel based on what I'm taking now. And so far, the results have been really positive.
That's fantastic. One of the things that jumps out at me is, you refer to Ironman, racing Ironman, as an eating and drinking contest, right? And
right.
Probably the overwhelming majority of athletes that are racing that distance have some sort of GI issue on the course. So this could be a very powerful thing for them to be able to heal their gut and fix their gut before they go into it, an intense training phase, and might have profound impact and positive impact on their race results.
Yeah, without question, Doc. I mean, that's a great point. If you cannot manage nutrition on the race course in any kind of long course race, you know, really from half Ironman or longer, or from the marathon distance or longer, certainly, if you have difficulty managing nutrition, getting in an appropriate amount of calories of the right amount without having a GI distress, then you're going to have a difficult time reaching your potential. It doesn't matter how fit you are. That's
right.
The bottom line.
Right.
You know, if you don't manage that stuff well, you can be the most fit guy on the planet, and you're still going to be on the side of the road, you know, with an achy stomach, vomiting or what have you, and trying to figure out what in the heck went wrong.
Of course, you know? Of course. And not to mention the profound connections we're starting to find between the health of the gut and the autoimmune issues and things of that nature.
Time.
So, there are those who believe that death begins in the gut, right?
Right.
And so as the function of the gut declines, so does the rest of the body.
I learned many things from doing this profile. One was that neurotransmitters, many of them are produced in the gut.
In the gut, sure.
And, of course, this test also looks at neurotransmitter status. You know, we very rarely think of the function or the functioning of our body in a very holistic sense, in every way, as being related to the health of the tubing.
Right.
You know,
right.
The end of the tubing, you know, past the stomach and beyond, you know. And clearly, one of the things I learned from this profile was that there's a lot going on there. You know, I wonder for a lot of the endurance athletes that are listening, and when we think about how we fuel our bodies, you know, and all the stuff that we put in there to figure out how to go faster, what kind of long-term implications are there from that, especially
sure.
in very high-stress situations?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know? I mean, I often tell people, you know, I probably ran 25 marathons before I ever took a calorie in a race. And I think there's a lot of positives to taking less, not more.
Right.
But once things get disturbed down there, you've got to figure out what's wrong in some kind of measurable or quantifiable way and try to address those issues. And that's certainly what I think of as the greatest benefit from having done this kind of test.
Excellent, excellent. Well, that's a lot of really good information. That's a lot of there's a lot of new stuff in there probably for a lot of folks out there. And I'm going to stop saying a lot because I think I've said that a lot in the last few minutes.
That's a lot.
That is a lot. I've enjoyed this a lot.
Yeah, it's been fun. All right.
And I look forward to the next one a lot.
We invite any questions that you may have about what at times can seem like a confusing topic. So fire away, send them our way. And we'll happily share more information about this particular test and similar kinds of tests. And as is always the case, this particular comprehensive metabolic profile is offered through Designs for Health, a company that we believe in, and the quality of and Metametrics Laboratory connected with Designs for Health. Certainly very reputable companies, Genova Diagnostics. So if you're embarking on a similar kind of testing protocol, look for the best possible company or series of companies, resources, experts, people that you absolutely believe in, that where they're completely transparent,
right,
and completely open about exactly what it is that you're doing and how you're going about it. One thing I should say about this particular test as well, Doc, is it was done with just blood spots in urine, so I didn't need any blood drawn.
Right, just finger stick.
Yeah, exactly.
That's it.
Good stuff.
Excellent. If you have questions, you can certainly get to us through the website, pursuitathleticperformance.com. We're happy to answer any of those questions, and we look forward to chatting with you in our next podcast.
All right. See you, everybody. Good times. Have a great day. Take care.
Thank you for tuning in to the Pursuit Athletic Performance Podcast. If you enjoyed the show, please leave a 5-star rating and review here on iTunes. Be sure to head over to PursuitAthleticPerformance.com to subscribe for free tips and strategies to help you get strong, get fast, and unleash the amazing athlete in you.